ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from chapter 3, text 22 to 24. So we'll be reciting text 22. Na name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokesh kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam varteva cha karmani. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the Vedic literature as follows. Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram, Tam Devtanam Paramam Cha Devyatam, Patim Patinam Paramam Parashtad, Vidam Devam Bhuvanesham Idyam, Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate, Natat Samas Cha Bhyadikas Cha Drishyate, Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate, Swabhavika Gyana Balakriya Cha. The Supreme Lord is a controller of all other controllers, and He is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under His control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods, and He is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, He is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers, and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than Him, and He is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between His body and His soul. He is absolute. All His senses are transcendental. Any one of His senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than Him or equal to Him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. Shweta Shvetar Upanishad 6.78. Since everything is in full opulence in the personality of Godhead and is existing in full truth, there is no duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform. One who must receive the result of work has some designated duty, but one who has nothing to achieve within the three planetary systems certainly has no duty. And yet Lord Krishna is engaged on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as a leader of Kshatriyas, because the Kshatriyas are duty-bound to give protection to the distressed. Although He is above all the regulations of the revealed scripture, He does not do anything that violates the revealed scriptures. Hare Krishna. So I welcome all the devotees for this evening Bhagavad Gita class. So in this verse and the subsequent verses will be covering a few points. The purport of this verse and the translation, they mention how Sri Krishna, being the greatest, is not involved in any other duty. So we'll try to go deeply into this concept, cover some points of this. So how it shows that if somebody is too powerful, he is not obliged to do anything which other people are obliged to do. So I remember in my childhood, I was studying in a boarding school, and we were supposed to follow certain rules. And once one of my friends, he was caught breaking the rule. It wasn't something serious, small thing. And the senior came, and our hostel prefect, and he came and he said, "Why are you doing this? You're not supposed to do. You'll get punishment." But while he was saying so and doing so, even I found that he was breaking that rule, he had broken the same rule in some other occasion. So I said, "How can you stop him when you are breaking the rule yourself?" So that was like a big issue, because our school had a lot of seniority. Nobody was supposed to challenge seniors and like that. So he took me to his senior. So the senior told me, he was a very nice person. He said, he gave me an example. So our principal, his nickname, the boys used to call him Saddy. So they said, if Shadi tells you that don't smoke, and while he's smoking, will you go and tell Shadi, you are smoking, so how can you tell us not to smoke? So our principal was like a very big personality. So even in my wild dreams, I couldn't imagine confronting him. And so I said, okay, I agree. I'm not going to tell Shadi that since you're smoking, how can you tell us not to smoke? So that was the idea. That if somebody is very great, he's not, small rules don't apply to him. So actually we have to see that Krishna is actually very great. Like Krishna is telling here that there is no work prescribed for me. Second, nor am I in want of anything. And third, nor do I need anything. So we can think that there is no work prescribed for me. For example, we can say that there is a big businessman, super rich. So he doesn't have to go to the factory and like start to run the machines or even actually go and attend the management. His subordinates can do. So one condition we can see. But second thing is that he needs a result of that. Like he can't say that, okay, you don't pay me the money what I earn, don't pay me the profits. That is not the case. He depends on the profits. And third is he need to obtain those profits. But Krishna here is saying that he's so above that he doesn't have to do anything to run the material world. All the demigods, his agents, they're running it. Second, nor is he in want of anything. It's not that somebody doesn't do any puja or archana or yajna and Krishna will say, "Are, my bank balance of puja archana is decreasing, nobody is worshipping me." It's not like that. If nobody also worship, Krishna is going to be the top person, not that his position is going to shake. And nor have I a need to obtain anything. He doesn't need also. Neither he wants, nor he needs. He's self-sufficient, full. So, if somebody is of that status, he doesn't have to follow rules and regulations of material world. Like we see, if a jailer is there, he goes to the jail. So you can't say, "Are, dekha, the prisoner is in the jail and jailer is also in the jail. So both are equal." It's not, a jailer is like, he can come out whenever he wants. The prisoner doesn't have that choice. At the same time, we travel in the street and the red light comes, we have to stop. And tomorrow if the president's convoy come, so even if there is red light, the car is going ahead, we can't say, "Are, red light is there, you stop." So the president is above the laws. Like supposing there's an elephant and he's walking and there's an ants colony and they have a traffic signal and they say, "Stop, stop." So there's no need for the elephant to stop. So this is one example by which we can understand how material laws that don't apply to Krishna. And why they don't apply? So Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that Krishna is Parameshwar in the verse quoted by in Shweta Shweta Upanishad. Like we have some Ishwars. Ishwars means in charges. Like even the gunda in the gully who takes hafta, he is also some kind of Ishwar. But Krishna is Ishwar, Ishwar, Parameshwar, the topmost. And Paramdevta, even higher than all the demigods. And then Prabhupada is saying he's got transcendental senses. Transcendental senses mean each sense can do the work of every other sense. Like for example, what can we do with our eyes apart from seeing? If you look at somebody with angry eyes or maybe hateful eyes or maybe some with different kinds of emotions, that's all. But Krishna, he can impregnate with his eyes. It is described, he looks at the Mahatattva, the original material nature, and he impregnates the material nature with all the living entities, the souls. That is the power of Krishna's eyes, vision. He can eat with his eyes. He can smell with his hands. He can hear with his nose, with his eyes. So all his senses can do all the functions. So one way to understand this is a very common concept which is coming up nowadays, like you must have heard, stem cells. There's a lot of research controversy going on. Basically, stem cells are cells which are found in the small baby, embryo, fetus, which is in mother's womb. And these cells, they have the power to develop into different kind of cell lines. Like our cells in the bones are different from the cells in the skin, cells in the blood, cells in the hair. So you can't take hair cell, bone cell and put it in your teeth. Or can't take eye cell and put it in your knee and think that this will regenerate. So each cell has a specific function and it will do only that specific thing. But stem cells, they can develop into different lines. So that's why there's a lot of interest in using this branch. So Krishna is the origin of all. He is the primary stem, so from which everything can evolve. So he is the source of everything. That is Krishna's power. So by this we understand how Krishna is so powerful, so great, so energetic that he doesn't need to do anything. Another some examples I like to give. Like, none of us can control time. But Krishna, we see in Mahabharata when Jayadrath was about to be killed, and actually the sun had set, but when by his mystic powers he again brought the sun out. We can't do that. Krishna can do. Krishna can control, like we have different laws in the material world. One common law is law of gravitation. Krishna can control even the law of gravitation. He can break even this law. How we see by when he lifts the Govardhan hill. So it may be difficult for us to understand, but if we go at real molecular level physics, we understand that basically the force of attraction between two atoms or the subatomic particles, that ultimately give rise to the forces of attraction in nature. And gravity is part of that. So if you simply break that force at a very small level, there is no difficult thing for Krishna to lift Govardhan Parvat. Then we see that he even conquers death. Like we have some doctors, they may just revive a patient, give some resuscitation and he may come out. Maybe if he's just recently passed away, that also depends. But Krishna, he brought the dead sons of his mother Devaki, 6 sons who were killed. That is his power. He's so strong that in one Swayamvar, he was asked to control 7 bulls. 7 or 4? So he expanded. Imagine controlling one bull. You see one bull charging at you, will run away with so much speed. Bulls are really hefty animals. And 7 bulls at one time. So that only he can do. And when he came as Lord Ram, he controlled the sea. He told the sea, throw stones, and the stones are floating. Who can do all this? Only God can do. When he came as Lord Chaitanya planted one mango seed and a mango tree came out immediately. And the mangoes, they had no covering and no seeds, only pulp, and most delicious pulp. Only he can do that. So there are many pastimes by which we can see that actually Krishna, he creates the laws and he has the power to break those laws also and show his supremacy. So, but here Krishna is saying that I don't do all this, I follow proper principles. Why is he saying that he follows proper principles? This we'll see in the next verse. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. So Krishna in the previous verse, he gave example of Janak Maharaj. And now he's giving his example how even great personalities, they follow the principles of religion. So in the next verse he says, "For if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Parth, certainly all men would follow in my path." So here they are saying, in order to keep the balance of social tranquility for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. So Krishna is saying, if I don't follow, then people will follow my example and then things will go bad. And the next verse he says, if I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So Krishna specially says that this will lead to production of sankar, varna sankar. So this is precisely one of the reasons which Arjuna gives for not fighting. He says, if I fight and I kill all the men in the society, so the women will be unprotected and they'll become unchaste. And by that, the children which will be born will not be pure. So Krishna is saying that it's not that by not fighting, by fighting you'll give rise to varna sankar. But in fact, if you don't fight and give a wrong example, people will follow your wrong example and by this, bad progeny will be created. So Krishna is turning his logic other way around. So how we see, and we also saw that great leaders, people follow them. So there are two, three examples I'd like to give. On the positive side, we have example of Ambarish Maharaj, who was very strict devotee of Krishna. So it is said when he would follow Ekadashi, all the citizens, even animals would follow Ekadashi. Everyone would fast, just because the leader is so nice. And on the other hand, we have example of Ravan. So it is described when Hanumanji went to Lanka, in the night he was doing all his detective work. So in many places he found there are big, big pots. And what was the food in that? Meat, wine, all these kinds of abominable Rakshasi food. Because the leader was like that. And it's not that we have to look for only political leaders or other. Even we ourselves in our life are leaders to our subordinates. Like those who are in family, their children, to them they are leaders. And those who have other responsibilities, people look at them and they have to behave properly. So I remember one example, how parents can affect children. So in one novel, there is a Sherlock Holmes story. So Sherlock Holmes was actually trying to solve a murder mystery. And he had suspicion on one particular family. So when he went there, the family, he couldn't actually investigate directly. So he just asked the family, he was just trying to talk around with them. So the mother and father, they said, oh, you know, our son, he's so lovely. But he has one very bad habit. He always kills cockroaches. Wherever he finds, just psh, smash and kills them. So you may find it's a common thing. But he induced, or maybe like speculated, that if the child is having such violent tendencies, he must have got them from the parents. And by this, he directed his line of investigation in this direction. And ultimately, they turned out to be the culprit. So we learn that very important to set up right example. So we also see how our acharyas, they set up proper example. Like His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he was suffering from very severe end-stage cancer, and even his limb was amputated. But even in the final days, he was chanting 16 rounds, more than 16 rounds. We have His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, although his body is paralyzed, hemi-paralyzed, but still he chants, if not on beats, on clicker chants. We have His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So every day he comes and attends morning program, even when he is so sick. And because he has to do some things, he goes in his room and hears Bhagavatam class. But many times I have found that he hears it more attentively than those, like especially me who sits here and sleeps. He knows much more than what we are sitting here and hearing. So like this, you see how it's very important to set up proper example. But here Prabhupada gives another angle of setting up proper example. He's saying that many people we should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate Him. Following and imitating are not on the same level. How, like many people, they read about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, how Krishna is stealing gopis' clothes, dancing with them. So people are inspired, we'll also imitate these things. Very interesting pastimes. Krishna steals butter and all that. So our tendency is to follow those kind of things which help in increasing our sense gratification. But as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, before doing Ras Leela, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. So if we are wanting to perform, imitate Krishna in this aspect, first we should try and go and lift at least one rock of Govardhan with one hand. So he said, till somebody is not Girivar Dhari, he cannot be Ras Bihari. And Prabhupada used to say that if somebody wants to perform Ras Leela, that will be only Raskal Leela. So one should be very careful. Like we have followers of Lord Shiva, they do big, big yagyas, and then they take out chilam, fill it with ganja, and then they offer it to yagya only. fire only, and then they smoke, saying it is prasad. And they say, we are smoking ganja because Shivji smokes. But then Shivji also drinks ocean of poison. Why don't they do that? Because if they do, take even one drop of poison, they'll die. But that they won't follow. They'll follow something else. So what is to be followed are the principles and the instructions of great personalities, not their actions. Because our tendency as conditioned souls is only to follow actions which suit our intentions, not which are for our purification. So best is, so many instructions Krishna is giving here to Arjun. Prabhupada very beautifully says, similarly, there are some pseudo-devotees of Lord Krishna who prefer to imitate the Lord in his Rasleela or dance of love, forgetting their inability to lift Govardhan Hill. It is best, therefore, that one not try to imitate the powerful, but simply follow their instructions. Nor should one try to occupy their post without qualification. There are so many incarnations of God without the power of Supreme Godhead. So, in conclusion, I'll just like to summarize that since Krishna is the Supreme God, he doesn't have any rules to follow, but he follows those rules just to set an example. Like when he was a Brajvasi, son of Nand Maharaj, his duty was a Vaishya, so he was taking care of the cows. When he was a king in Dwarka, he would perform the duties of a king, give charity, get up in Brahm Muhurat, meditate, give charity. As a householder, it was his duty to take care of his family. So each queen had her own palace, take care of the children, get them married, get the daughters married. So all these things Krishna is performing as an ideal householder to set an example for us. So great personalities, they set example for us to follow. But it is our duty to follow them properly and not imitate them. Follow their instructions, their principles, and not blindly follow their actions. If we do that and remain surrendered to Krishna and be thankful to him for telling us the right path, it's very easy for us to progress in Krishna consciousness and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. In this text 22, here Krishna is the director of all directors and controller of all controller. People say that ekam nityam bimalam achalam sarbadhi sakhi bhutam. Means ekam nityam means one is absolute, one is truth, and bimalam achalam sarbadhi sakhi bhutam. Sarbadhi means in everything you can find. Like how Narsingh Dev came out from a pillar for Prahlad Maharaj. Like this, that ekam nityam bimalam achalam sarbadhi sakhi bhutam bhavatitam trigunaritam. What is that bhavatitam and trigunaritam? Can you please explain that?
I don't know the translation, so you can explain that. I can explain the first part. If you are saying there is one, there is also words. Nitya nitya naam, chetanas chetana naam. That there are so many nityas, so many eternal living entities, but there is one who is the topmost. So many chetanas, but there is one who is the possessor of that, who is the topmost. So that is God. It is not that all of us are that one. Because Krishna says in Gita, mama vansho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatan, that all my living entities are my part and parcel and they exist eternally. And he says to Arjun, you existed before this war, you will exist after this war. And all these kings existed before this war and they will exist after this war. And I also existed before and I will exist in future. That means you remain as you are in past, future, both. And same will be Krishna. Not that we merge into that one. That oneness is the primary, the basic understanding of spirituality. It is described in Bhagavatam. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti Shabdate. There are three levels of understanding of God. One is the, which we call Nirakar, Nirvishesh, Sarvyapi, all-pervading, Brahman. That is like Kankanmay Bhagwana, what you are telling. That Lord Narsingh is present in the pillar also. So that is a primary understanding, that God is present everywhere. But God is present everywhere in form of His energy. Just like sunlight, if it enters into the room, it's not that sun is in the room, but it, just by sunlight is there, indirectly sun is also there. So just by energy is pervading in this entire universe, God is present in His energy form. But personally, He is not present. And there is God in your heart also. So that God is called Paramatma. He has complete knowledge of what is going inside you, what is going inside everyone. That energy which is there, let's say in this, that doesn't have knowledge of what is going inside you. That is just eternal aspect, sat aspect. But chit aspect, that is the knowledge aspect, is there in Paramatma. That is even higher. And the topmost is Bhagwan. That has knowledge, eternity and bliss. Why bliss? Because you need two to enjoy. One person cannot enjoy. Suppose you have everything in this world, but you are the only one. Will you enjoy? Will the mother enjoy without the baby? Love is between two. And because God is there and we are here, so bhakti is that art of love. Two people are there. There is God, who is our worshipable object, and there is bhakta, devotee. And that love is bhakti. There has to be two. There can't be one. If it is one, it is just very dry, very simple. Everything is one. Okay, then what? Simply you rest in peace, that's it. You won't have love. A tree can't eat its own fruit. Somebody else eats and tree gives. So that is the beauty of process of bhakti. Okay? Yeah. So, any other question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Sir, I wanted to ask you one question. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita itself that there is parampara, Brahma Sampradaya parampara, beginning from Lord Brahma till Prabhupada. So, these type of yogis who are naked babas in Kumbh Mela, those who imitate Lord Shiva, are they real followers of Lord Shiva? Means, do they belong to the line of Rudra Sampradaya?
No. Rudra Sampradaya is a Vaishnava Sampradaya.
That is what. Mainly I wanted to ask is that I belong to Vallabh Sampradaya, which is a part of Rudra Sampradaya. So, the way in which parampara is shown here, what is the parampara of Rudra Sampradaya? Means, who was the first spiritual master and do you people know anything about that?
No, I don't know. You know, details. Vishnu Swami.
Vishnu Swami, that too, yeah. I also know, but names of all the spiritual masters.
That you can find. Each parampara preserves their lineage. So if you meet somebody who is proper bona fide in parampara, he'll give you. Each parampara, they record their acharyas. It is very common practice. So you'll find nothing. It's not difficult.
These yogi babas don't belong to the Vaishnava Sampradaya, no?
They don't. They themselves say they don't belong to Vaishnava Sampradaya. We don't have to tell them. They say we belong to different sampradayas, but even they have their own way of pursuing God.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Any other question? Comment? Okay. Jai Bhagavad Gita ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.